My dear friends, today is the Feast of the Circumcision. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from St. Paul's epistle to Titus, chapter 2. Dearly beloved, the grace of God our Savior hath appeared to all men, instructing us that, denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly and justly and godly in this world, looking for the blessed hope and coming of the glory of the great God and of our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and might cleanse to himself a people acceptable, a pursuer of good works. These things speak and exhort in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. At that time, after 8 days were accomplished, that the child should be circumcised, his name was called Jesus, which was called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And after 8 days were accomplished, that the child should be circumcised, his name was called Jesus. These words are taken from the Gospel of the Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, before the time of our Lord, there was a covenant, or a promise, which existed between God and man. When Adam and Eve fell, God promised that he would send a Redeemer to satisfy for their sins and to reopen the gates of heaven. Over time, the descendants of Adam and Eve forgot about the one true God. They fell into paganism. They began to worship animals and even the stars. But still, God did not abandon them. He called a certain man named Abraham and promised to make him the father of a mighty nation. This nation or people would preserve the belief in the one true God. And from this nation would arise the Messiah, who would be the Savior of the world. The rite of circumcision was established by God as a way of signing the members of the chosen people. And thus every male member of the Jewish race was subject to this ritual. And in today's Gospel, we read that our Lord, too, submitted to this rite on the 8th day after his birth, just as the law prescribed. And after 8 days were accomplished, that the child should be circumcised, his name was called Jesus. It was customary among the Jews of our Lord's time to perform the ceremony of circumcision in the synagogue and to join to it the naming of the child. Thus, St. Joseph himself, as the foster father of our Lord, St. Joseph performed this ceremony and then bestowed upon the Christ child the name of Jesus, as the angel had foretold at the time of the Annunciation. Our Lord, of course, was under no obligation to submit to this rite. As one author points out, the law of circumcision was made for servants and for sinners. Christ was the Son of God and the master of the law. He was not under the law. Why then did our Lord will to be circumcised? St. Thomas Aquinas lists several reasons, among which is that our Lord wished to set for us a good example of obedience. The virtue of obedience, my dear faithful, is the virtue which inclines us to comply with the will of another. In other words, obedience is that power of the soul which helps us to bend our will to the will of God and to the will of those whom he has placed over us. This virtue of obedience is truly one of the most noble virtues, for by it we surrender one of our most valuable possessions, our own self-will. We surrender our own self-will to another, and ultimately to God. Throughout his life, our Lord gives us the perfect example of obedience, just as we see in today's gospel. From the first days of his infancy to the moment of his death on Calvary, our Savior showed himself to be a model of humble obedience, and he wants us to imitate him. You know, when our Lord taught the apostles to pray, he taught them the Our Father, in which we pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in this petition, our Lord was teaching us to pray for the grace to be obedient to God's will in all things. And then he showed us the way the night before he died during the agony in the garden. He prayed, "Father, if it be possible, let this chalice of suffering pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And when we obey, this is what we do. We set God's will above our own. We choose to do and to accept God's will rather than our own self-will. And this will of God, my dear faithful, is the absolute norm, so to speak, to which we must conform if we would serve him and if we would save our souls. And how does God manifest his will towards us? He doesn't descend from heaven every day to give us instruction and direction. Rather, he speaks to us through the duties of our state in life, and especially through our lawful superiors, to whom he has granted a share of his power. Our parents, the true priests and bishops of the church, civil officials, they all participate in God's authority when, of course, they act in accord with his will. And what is God's will? What does God specifically intend for us? Ultimately, he intends that we save our souls. This is why we were created, to be happy with him forever in heaven. In order to reach this end, however, there are many little steps which we must take, many little daily occurrences by which God shows us the way to eternal life. Today we begin a new year, and just as people make New Year's resolutions in the business world or with regards to their health, so too should we make a resolution with regards to our practice of virtue. Ask yourself at the outset of this new year how you conform yourself to God's will. If it is with a humble and cheerful resignation, or if it is with a slow and begrudging attitude. And to make it more practical, consider the ways in which God manifests his will to you throughout the day. Above all, remember that our Lord said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Do we keep the commandments of God and of his church? Do we avoid the near occasions of sin? Or do we deliberately place ourselves in these near occasions, knowing that we break God's laws by doing so? Are we all obedient to our lawful superiors? Children, do you obey your parents promptly and cheerfully? Parents, consider if you carry out the duties of your state in life with generosity. God instituted the married state, and he established laws regarding its use. He commands that wives and husbands love and respect one another. And he commands that they provide for the spiritual and bodily well-being of their children. The duties of our state and life are a practical manifestation of what God wants us to do. My dear faithful, as we begin this new year, resolve to practice a humble and generous obedience to the will of God. When it's difficult to obey, remember the prayer of our Lord in the Garden of Olives. Father, not my will, but as thou wilt. If we strive to live every day in conformity with the divine will, then we will one day enjoy what God ultimately desires for us, that we reign with him for all eternity in heaven. God bless you, and may you have a happy and blessed new year. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.